You're listening to the Vineyard Milwaukee podcast. For more information about Vineyard Milwaukee, go to vineyardmilwaukee.com. Now, here's our podcast.
So, my name's Rebecca. If you don't know, I'm one of the pastors here. And if you're not aware of this, I'm sure you are, but, you know, we're in the digital age, right? So, most of you have a smartphone. You've got the internet in your back pocket, and things have changed a bit in the digital age. They've changed a lot since my formational years. And so we have found, research has found, that stress and anxiety have also increased in the developed countries in America in the digital age for a number of reasons. But I just want to start with a little video clip that kind of demonstrates one of the ways that the digital age has had an impact on our anxiety.
Yeah, I've been hearing about lots of crazy things happening tonight.
Things
people be talking about for weeks.
Ah! Dana, what is it?
It's nobody.
Everyone must be hanging out somewhere else. Guess you're
missing out.
Randy Talbert's parents are letting them have a party on their abandoned plate of land.
Everyone's tweeting about it.
Wish I didn't have to work tonight.
It's Julie's sorority thing. Everyone's posting about it.
Weren't you invited?
Well, no. She said it was a small thing. Oh, my God. Even Tom was invited. Tom with the skin thing. Hi. I'm looking for Holly.
Holly's not been here since about an hour ago when she left to go to the movie.
That's impossible. We were supposed to go together. Foursquare says people are hanging out at McSwiggin's Ale House and TGI Fridays. I have to choose.
What are you gonna do?
I'll just stop by one, and then I'll head to the other. These people, they're having so much fun without me. What am I supposed to do about this, Juno? Juno! Come on. Come on! No! No! No!
Hey, Dana, it's Mike!
Oh, my God, come on!
Everyone's hanging out. Where are you?
Come on.
Hey, where are you? You're missing the best night ever. A goose got into the bar.
Wait! Wait!
Go to Bonnaroo!
I want to go to Bonnaroo! God, please!
Dana, if you still want to hang, we're all going to be at the...
FOMO. Anyone can relate to that? I am so thankful that smartphones were not around during my formational years. I would have not have survived. So I have lots of empathy for teens and young adults that are growing up in a very different way than I grew up. And so yes, FOMO is actually a real thing. And even for people my age, right? So I even struggle with FOMO, which is why I'm no longer in social media, because like too much angst. But yes, they have actually found, in addition to FOMO, there's also increased anxiety in the digital age with sleep dysregulation and just the constant bombardment of screens and perpetual distraction and work-life balance and social comparison, all kinds of things. But in addition to just sort of the general anxiety that has increased, we also are experiencing a global pandemic, which they have found that the prevalence of anxiety has increased around 25% worldwide as we kind of entered the pandemic 2 years ago, and according to the World Health Organization. And obviously, we all know we're facing wars and rumors of wars. So the anxiety level is kind of going up in the world a bit, isn't it? We're all experiencing global insecurity. Our foundation has revealed itself for what it is: unstable, unpredictable. And if you haven't realized it yet, many people think that we are just in the beginning of increased instability. We haven't even begun to see the level of fallout that is going to come from the domino effect of the pandemic. And so The question I want to look at today for us, for the people of God, is what are we meant to do with our fears and anxieties? We're going to look today at John 14, 23 through 27. We've been spending a lot of time on these verses out of John, where Jesus was meeting with his disciples very close to his imminent death. And so he's kind of trying to prepare them. Like, life for you is about to get really crazy. He knows he's going to die. Of course, he can't begin to, even though he's tried to explain to them, I'm going to come back to life. Of course, they can't wrap their minds around this. And then he tries to explain, like, even a bigger mystery, that, but then I'm still going to go away in bodily form, but I'm going to return to you in the form of a spirit. So this was too much for them, but he wanted to prepare them because he knew they, like us, were going to experience, like, things they don't understand, like their foundation crumbling, things that were predictable become unpredictable. They were going to be experiencing persecution, all sorts of fears and anxieties. Their hearts were going to be broken because their leader that they believed was going to come and rescue them in a very real and practical way, specifically rescue them from the Roman oppression at the time, was going to die. Was going to die a very dark and disturbing death. And so he's trying to prepare them. And so he's saying things that almost sound crazy, like, you don't need to be afraid because I'm coming back to you. And so that's what we're looking at today. It starts with John 14, 23. Jesus replied, "Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." And so just a reminder, because we've kind of been in this series on the Holy Spirit for a while, the Holy Spirit is the personal presence of God. He is the Spirit of Jesus. He said, "We will come and make our home with you." In the very next verse, he says, "You heard me say, I'm going away and I am coming back to you." So this is the triune God personally present in the Spirit, in us who follow Jesus, in the world at work. So he's preparing his disciples because he knows what's coming, and he says, "We will come back to you. I'm not going to leave you as orphans. And when we do come back, you will discover what I mean when I say, 'My peace I leave with you.' To receive your sanity, your perspective, your identity, your shalom from me, not from the world. I do not give as the world gives. You will discover how to live in a war zone without fear." And this, my friends, is impossible without the Holy Spirit. So what are sources of fear? Well, we've talked a little bit about it in our fun little thing this morning. We fear rejection. We fear condemnation. We fear not being valued or loved or wanted. We fear not having enough resource, not having enough things or money or experiences to make us secure or happy or make our kids happy and thriving. We fear relational conflict. We fear job security. We fear things we can't control, like natural disasters, accidents, global pandemic, going to war. Do I need to go on? I mean, there's plenty to fear, right? There's plenty to be anxious about. And so ultimately, we mostly have anxiety over things we have very little control of. Jesus says, "I do not give to you as the world gives." How or what? How does the world give? What does the world give us? Well, we've discovered that the world gives us instability in most areas of our life. So we fear rejection or condemnation. The world gives us cancel culture. We fear not having enough, and the world repeatedly tells us this is true, that we don't have enough, that we don't have enough things or money or experiences. Through social media, advertisements, money-making schemes, peer pressure, competition. We fear we aren't enough, that we're not smart enough or cool enough or skinny enough or attractive enough. And the world affirms this fear through social media, through advertisements. And then the world attempts to solve its own problem through books and curriculum and songs that and programs that tell us to find our identity by looking inward. Find yourself inside. Believe in yourself. And that doesn't work either. We fear things we can't control, right? And the truth is the world is a vulnerable place with unstable people that may react in hostile and irrational ways. The world does not have answers for us. And it certainly tries. I mean, they found that the self-help book industry is just skyrocketing. There's growing industry around soul care. There's false hope put into political leaders. So what does Jesus offer us? What does Jesus give us? Himself. He says in verse 27, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid." How does this work? So I could give you right now a scripture or two or three that answers every one of those fears that I talked about. But just intellectually knowing the truth of scripture, just memorizing verses is not enough when fear and anxiety have a grip on you that is too strong for you to muscle your way out of. You need more than a good sermon. You need more than just hearing truth. You need the presence of Jesus. You need the Holy Spirit. The peace he's giving you is himself. He isn't saying, "I'm just going to give you promises to meditate on and comforting words to reflect on." I'm giving you me. The Holy Spirit to come in power and drive out that fear, to do for you what you cannot do for yourself. So I want to look at a couple stories today. The first one may seem like a strange one for me to choose when I'm talking about peace, but God really highlighted this for me this week, and so I felt like he had something in it. And this is a story actually of a power encounter with Jesus and a man who was demonized. And so we're going to look today at Mark, starting with Mark chapter 5. It says, they went across the lake to the region of the Gerasenes. When Jesus got out of the boat, a man with an impure spirit came from the tombs to meet him. This man lived in the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain, for he had often been chained hand and foot. But he tore the chains apart and broke the irons on his feet. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and in the hills, he would cry out and cut himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and fell on his knees in front of him. He shouted at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? In God's name, don't torture me." For Jesus had said to him, "Come out of this man, you impure spirit." Then Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" "My name is Legion," he replied, "for we are many." And he begged Jesus again and again not to send them out of the area. A large herd of pigs was feeding on a nearby hillside. The demons begged Jesus, "Send us among the pigs. Allow us to go into them." He gave them permission, and the impure spirits came out and went into the pigs. The herd, about 2,000 in number, rushed down the steep bank into the lake and were drowned. Those tending the pigs ran off and reported this in the town and countryside, and the people went out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons sitting there, dressed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. So this man would cry out day and night, tormented, so tormented that he would cut himself with stones. And that they found this man sitting there dressed and in his right mind with Jesus. Now, this story may seem a bit dramatic and hard to relate to personally when you're considering your own struggle with fears and anxieties. But have you ever felt tormented? Have you ever had trouble falling asleep, tossing and turning, ruminating over your thoughts? It says the man cut himself with stones. Do you know anyone that cuts themselves because they're in so much pain or confusion or fear? Have you ever self-harmed? I'm reading a memoir right now by a man named Philip Yancey. Some of you may be familiar with him. He's a Christian author who's written a couple dozen books. He's in his 70s now. but he's telling his life story. It's called Where the Light Fell. It's a beautiful story. But he talks about in his adolescent years, through his own confusion around his identity and his own struggle with fear and pain and instability, he went through a season of self-harming. He even broke his own arm. We're in over our heads, and let's face it, people, we are. We need someone stronger than us. We need supernatural power to drive out fear. And listen, how the Holy Spirit chooses to impart this peace to us will depend on the source of this fear. This man needed deliverance from his tormentors. He needed them driven out from him. And sometimes we need to be delivered from our demons, from tormenting thoughts, from acute anxiety. And sometimes we just need to dial down and let the Holy Spirit do what only he can do. I had this experience myself just last week. Last weekend I had traveled to Dayton, Ohio for a conference. And while I was there, my family lives in Columbus. I spent just less than 24 hours with my family to celebrate my mom's birthday. And it didn't take long. You know, it doesn't take more than 24 hours with your family of origin for drama to be stirred up. And so I'm coming off this conference where I received a lot of ministry from the Holy Spirit, and I get with my family and stuff is churned up, you know, nothing major, but all my stuff's triggered, all the stuff, right? So I come home, and I wasn't surprised the day after I got home, coming off kind of this you know, really great conference experience and then having all my family of origin stuff stirred up, that I would be receiving some counterattack. And so that day, I just felt really low, like really discouraged. All my faith just felt drained out of me. My mind was just ruminating thoughts. I'm going back and playing all the old scripts of all the ways I'd been wounded and all the injustices that had happened to me and all the junk, trying to process it. And I was at the end of my rope, my personal rope. You know that feeling? And I remember just putting my head down and just being like, Jesus, I thought I was over this. I thought I had moved on. Thought I had forgiven everyone. I thought I, you know, thought we were like, you know, we'd done this work. And I can't dig into myself and find the resource I need to deal with what's happening to me right now. So I'm just going to sit here and wait for you. I'm just going to wait for you to come meet me. And as I just sat there quietly in my kitchen in God's presence, after a while, I just got this picture in my mind's eye of what just looked like rising water, like almost like a lake just rising up. And as it was rising up, it was like all my crazy, chaotic thoughts and all my discouragement, all my angst, everything that was like confusing and hard was being absorbed in this water. It was just being like absorbed, kind of just washed into the water. And as that was happening, I just felt peace flooding my heart. Peace was just flooding my heart, and I felt my mind calm down. And it was just the way the Holy Spirit just came gently and restored my peace. And it took a couple more days for me to keep, but I just found myself just restored to peace through a work of the Holy Spirit. I stopped striving to mentally or emotionally or even spiritually solve it for myself. And sometimes we just need to remember who was in our boat. I want to end with one last story, which happened just before the story I just shared. So just before Jesus meets this demonized man and restores him to his right mind, he's in the boat with his disciples, and they are beginning to experience something scary. And he shows up with another power encounter to meet them in their fear. So look with me at Mark chapter 4, verse 35. It says, that day when evening came, he said to his disciples, let us go over to the other side. Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with them, and a furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him up and said to him, teacher, don't you care if we drown? He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, quiet, be still. Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? They were terrified and asked each other, who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him. Now, you might reflect on this, reading this, the way I did my first many readings of this story, with kind of like, Jesus, really? Like, you expected them not to be afraid when literal waves are crashing over them and their boat's filling up with water and they're about to be capsized. Are they meant to just, like, be calm and chill? How were they meant to just assume that as they woke Jesus up, that he would naturally wake up from his nap and be able to just tell the storm to be quiet and be still? There's no guarantee of how Jesus is going to move in response to your crisis. But I think when Jesus says, why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? I don't think he's giving them a hard time because they didn't just assume that he would wake up and do something supernatural. But I think he gives them a hard time because they didn't really get that the God of the universe was with them in this storm. They still didn't realize who was in their boat. See, every time we are anxious and afraid, feeling out of control and out of our depth, Jesus is inviting us into a place of deeper trust and surrender. We need to remember who is in our boat, that he loves us and that he is for us and he has power. I actually think the most faith-filled response the disciples made in that moment was to run to Jesus and say, Jesus, wake up. Don't you care that we're going to drown? They weren't totally there yet. They didn't really fully get who was in their boat, but they knew enough to ask for help. They knew enough of who to go to. Philippians 4:4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Peace that transcends all understanding is not a feeling, it's not a state of mind, it is a person. It is the power and presence of the Holy Spirit given to you by Jesus while you navigate a world where you will have trouble. Why don't we stand? The worship band wants to head this way. This was not the sermon I planned to preach today on our little preaching calendar. But as I, every morning as I was sitting with God, he just kept speaking to me about this peace that I needed to receive and you all need to receive. And as he was bringing these specific stories to mind, I really felt like he wanted you to grasp that it's not, there are things you can do to increase your peace, sure, you know, going for walks and exercising and being with friends. There's all kinds of things that can help you, help deal with anxiety and depression in your life. But the peace that he's offering us that's different from the world is him. It is something the Holy Spirit does. He can meet you in a way where he can drive out your fears. Or he can absorb your ruminating thoughts. He will meet you in the whatever way you need to be met. He can deliver you from your demons. These are things that he does. He does not give as the world gives. He is a different way that he meets us. And so as we're in the midst of instability and we're heading into more instability, I feel like the invitation today is to receive the Holy Spirit and receive how he wants to bring peace to you. And as I was worshiping this morning, I felt like for some of you, some of you actually lodge your fear and anxiety into your physical body. And so I felt like God wanted to release some of that, like bring healing and set you free from some of that. I felt even this morning that there may be some of you experiencing nightmares or night terrors. And I felt like the Lord wanted to deliver you from that. Some of you, I think related to the feeling of tormenting thoughts, that ruminating thoughts. You just can't settle your mind down, the tossing and turning. Some of you, I feel like are in like relational conflict and you're trying to sort it out in your brain, and you just need the Holy Spirit to bring peace to you, and almost like, I will take care of you is what he's offering. Like, let me into this and bring peace to your mind and body. That experience of peace is a whole body experience. It's mental, it's physical, it's spiritual. So I'm just gonna invite God's presence, and I just encourage you to come and receive. Just receive from him. So we just say, come Holy Spirit. Pray you just give us yourself this morning. And just enable us to receive from you. Just as we're sitting here right now, I just got the word identity. And I think for some of you, a lot of the fear and anxiety is based around your identity. And so I feel like the Lord might want to meet you in that today. And I really feel like there's somebody especially that's struggling with like night terrors or nightmares. And it really is like a tormenting spirit. And so and I think some of you just carry a lot of anxiety around. And I just have a sense of God wanting to just do something supernatural where you may actually feel your body getting light and heavy. And that's just a real supernatural work of the Spirit to bring peace into your whole being. And so during worship, I just invite you to keep receiving. If you would like prayer today, if you'd like us to come alongside of you and just bless what the Holy Spirit's doing, there'll be several people in my left, your right corner over here that would just be delighted to pray for you and just to come alongside and bless whatever the Lord is doing for you this morning. But I just invite you to receive from him right now. Just receive his presence and his peace and whatever. Peace has power. He has power. A peaceful encounter is not always feel peaceful. Sometimes it feels like a power encounter. And so just receive whatever he has for you today.
Thanks for listening to the Vineyard Milwaukee podcast. For more information, go to vineyardmilwaukee.com.